journey, tedious journey. 80 and 80 from this world. And I'ma be set apart and be.
Get Your House in Order by Brother Tim Aaron. In those days, Hezekiah became sick and was at the point of death. And Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amoz, came to him and said to him, "Thus says the Lord, set your house in order, for you shall die, you shall not recover." 2 Kings 22 verse 1, ESV. Brother Tim Aaron brings the word of God for the end time. You can find more information about Brother Tim Aaron at www.thiefinthenightministries.com. And here is Brother Tim Aaron.
Glory to glory to glory to God. This is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Thank you for tuning in to another broadcast of Get Your House in Order. I'm your host, Tim Aaron. Hopefully you have been enjoying the previous shows, the previous discussions on this ministry. This ministry loves to deal with the end times, the second coming of Jesus Christ, the rapture, the final 7-year period, all of that, the two witnesses. Love talking about all that. But also this ministry deals with other issues like family, marriage, just the rights and wrongs of God, period. And so hopefully you will find this show beneficial to your Christian walk. Hopefully your faith has grown following this ministry. You know, the Bible says faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God. You know, one thing this ministry tries to do and takes very serious is to try to keep it 100% Bible. I know a lot of ministries claim to do that when they don't. So I humbly say, you know, I keep it Bible. And what I mean simply by that is I interpret scripture by scripture. You know, I don't use the Webster's Dictionary to define the Bible. You know, the Webster's Dictionary is probably just about 100 years old. And it's a shame when people turn to modern day definitions to try to understand what was established, you know, since the beginning. So, you know, over time, time has a way, not time itself, but over time. You know, Satan uses time to bring about confusion and misunderstanding and deception, because that's what the devil loves to do. But this ministry always tries to interpret the Bible by the Bible. You know, that way, you know, you get the sense that you're keeping it pure, you're keeping it honest, and you're keeping it truthful. Truth makes us free, according to Jesus. So that's why that is so important to be about the truth and not be about confusion and lies and misunderstandings. And, you know, one thing I found out about misunderstandings is this, you know, life really don't care. Yes, right. Life really don't care that you didn't understand. You know, after a while, if your misunderstanding remains, you know, you're going to pay a heavy price. And we can say, "I don't know," or "I didn't know that," or "I didn't understand that," or, you know, life don't care. I mean, it's like you could be driving and you could be going past the speed limit because you didn't see the new posted speed limit. And if a cop pulls you over, he's going to write you a ticket. He ain't going to really care that you didn't see the posted speed limit. He's just going to write you a ticket. And that's kind of like how life is. After a while, you know, that's really no excuse, you know. So, you know, it's important that we, you know, take the word of God serious. And it's important that we try to get down to the bottom of the truth when it comes to God, because I believe it is doable. You know, I'm not going to sit here and claim that I'm never wrong. But my goal is to get it right. And I try my best to do that. Okay. Today's topic is believe in God, but also believe in the devil. Okay. Believe in God, but also believe in the devil. That's important. That's important not to just be one-sided. Okay. Before I go further, I always like to open up the show with offering my listeners an invitation to accept Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. About 2,000 years ago, Jesus came to the earth with a primary goal in mind, and that was to redeem man back to God. For man was lost in his sins. And so Jesus came through the Virgin Mary, through the door, so that he can begin that quest, that mission to redeem man back to God. And so he was raised by a carpenter named Joseph and his mother named Mary. And about the age of 30, Jesus began his ministry. He began doing all sorts of wonderful and amazing things, setting people free from all sorts of addictions, from devils, from sickness and disease, even from death. Jesus was raising people from the dead. And as a result, Jesus drew a lot of attention. He gained a lot of followers, which meant a lot of people were leaving their local churches or the local synagogues and following Jesus. And a lot of the Jewish leaders at that time did not like that. They did not like losing membership and tithes and offerings. So in spite of Jesus's wonderful ministry, in spite of Jesus's wonderful works, they plot, the scribes, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, they plotted on how they were going to kill, to destroy Jesus. That's right. And so they lied on him and had him arrested. He was arrested by the Roman police at the time, the Roman soldiers, and they mocked him. They punched him, slapped him, blindfolded him, said, "Which one of us hit you, you know, since you this great man of God?" And they sped on him, and they placed a crown of thorns on his head, calling him the King of the Jews with the crown of thorns, pressing him on his head till blood was running down Jesus's face. And then they eventually nailed him to a tree, to a cross. And on that cross, they abused him and mocked him even more. Okay. And when he was thirsty, he asked for water and they gave him vinegar to drink. And then it was then when he died on the cross for the sins of the world, past, present, and future. John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Romans 10:9, "If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and believe in thy heart that God has raised him from the dead, you shall be saved." If you don't know Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, all you have to do is accept him as Lord and Savior of your life. Believe that he died on the cross for your sins. That's right. And that Jesus was dead in the grave and God raised him from the dead. And if you believe in that, you're saved. It's just that simple. And from this day forward, what you need to do is learn of Jesus, learn of his teachings, his commandments, and live by those teachings and commandments. And you are a Christian. It is really just that simple. You know, so if you have made that choice, great. Good for you. If you haven't, I will encourage you to do so. And if you do so, you will be making the best choice you will ever make in your entire life. Okay. Today's topic, believe in God, also believe in the devil. I would like to open up to passage Romans chapter 12. It's one of my favorite passages in the Bible. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. The Apostle Paul is saying here to the Roman church, he says, "I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy." That means set apart and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. I mean, it's not too much to ask. It's reasonable. "And be not conformed," verse 2, "to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." The Apostle Paul is letting us know here that we have probably been brainwashed by culture, by tradition, by the world. And we have to conform. We have to transform. our minds. We have to detox our minds from how we were brought up in this worldly world. Okay. And that's why I always talk about television a lot. A lot of people don't recognize just how influential television has been to their life, to their understanding of right and wrong, to their understanding of truth and what's reasonable and what's not reasonable, ethics, all of these things. All these things really have been a result of television shaping our understanding. And some of us realize it. Some of us realize it more than others, and some of us don't even realize it at all. And that's why I always want to warn you against television. Don't take television watching for granted. I'm not talking about movies, just movies or dramas. I'm talking about the situation comedy. You know, you're there to laugh and get entertained and it's funny. You don't think Satan is using that half hour show to drop seeds of corruption and seeds of brainwashing seeds of destruction into your life? Yes, he is. Commercials, little 20, 30 second commercials. You know, Satan's going to drop some seeds in those little commercials, cartoons. I mean, it never stops. Satan uses television around the clock. So be aware, you know, television is Satan's number one tool. That's all it is to it. And you have to understand that. You have to guard yourself when you sit in front of television. You know, I have a nice flat screen 4K TV, you know, so I like television, but I do guard what I watch. You know, I don't waste a lot of time on filth, on known filth, you know, the reality TV, known filth. But when I'm watching a situation comedy or when I'm watching a commercial or sports or whatever, I still got my guard up because I know Satan is always looking for an opportunity to plant a seed here or there. So beware of television. Another scripture I would like to read to you is John 10:10. It says, "For the thief cometh not but for to steal, kill, and to destroy. But Jesus have come that ye might have life, and that ye may have it more abundantly." So if you believe in God, you have to believe in the devil. Okay. You know, God wants to save life. God wants to fix life. God wants to bless. God wants to restore. God wants to do all the wonderful things. And of course, Satan wants to do just the opposite because Satan hates us. That's all that is to it. He wants to steal. He wants to kill. He wants to destroy. Okay. So you have to recognize that this life that we are living, especially today with television, with social media, with smartphones, with internet and computers, you know, millions of people can be reached, you know, in a matter of seconds with all of this technology. And Satan is moving. He's moving through it all, you know, trying to get us away from Christ, trying to get us away from truth so that we can be destroyed, because that's what he wants. He wants to destroy us. I want to talk about a few things by which you got to keep your guard up and you got to be aware of. And I want to talk about, first of all, the homosexual agenda. The homosexual agenda. You can be sitting down watching television, whether it's sports, you know, whether it's primetime television during the week. It don't matter. You're bound to see now homosexuality promoted and portrayed in a positive way. You're more likely to see it even in some of our main products that we use, commercial products that we use, like a Pepsi or Coke or McDonald's or smartphone commercials. There's nothing to show a homosexual couple now in these mainstream commercials, you know, and the sun is shining and grass is green and the weather's wonderful and all of these wonderful, wonderful things are taking place. And so this is a form of brainwashing. You know, Satan wants to confuse people when it comes to the righteousness of God, and it's not the will of God. Homosexuality is not the will of God, and we have to guard that truth. I can't say it more plain than that, because we do find some of our churches are now starting to sway in this area and starting to give in to the pressure of social society and wanting us to accept homosexuality as normal and okay. And it's good, yeah, a lot of them are saying, and it shouldn't be a big deal anymore. But that's not true. That's not true at all. We have to be aware of the evil that is homosexuality. It's not the will of God at all. Let's look at Romans chapter 1. We're going to go to Romans chapter 1, and we're going to start at the 20th verse. And I'm going to attempt to read down to verse 32. I have trouble reading the Apostle Paul's work. I notice more. It seems like more than anybody. But I'm going to attempt to read verses 20 through 32. It says, "For the invisible things of him from the creation," talking about God, "of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse." So he is basically saying some things here are just obvious. You know, God made Adam and then he made Eve. God made all sorts of animals, male and female. And so God has this heterosexual establishment going on since the beginning. You know, and it's God's will for men and women to come together and procreate and have families and reproduce and all that sort of thing. Verse 21, "Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were they thankful, but because vain in their imaginations, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened, professing themselves to be wise, they became fools," okay, "and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an imagine made like to corruptible man and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own heart to dishonor their own bodies between themselves." Okay, verse 25, "Who changed the truth of God into a lie, worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen." I kind of talked about that a little bit last week when men bow down on one knee before women, how they are worshiping the creation more than the Creator by doing that. Verse 26, "For this cause God gave them up unto vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature." You know, a lot of times all we got to do is just look at nature. Nature is nothing but an extension of who God is. And we never see in nature, you know, two men reproducing or two women reproducing and going forth. That's not the nature of God. "And likewise, also the men leaving the natural use of the woman burn in their lust one toward another. Men with men working that which is unseemly and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error, which was meet," which was justified. Okay. So, you know, Lord is giving them up to their own lust because of their rejection of who he is and what he has established here. And because they refuse to repent, get it right, God allowed them to go on and go on and go on down the path they were going, you know, and it's not pretty. It's not pretty at all. Verse 28, "And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which were not convenient." You know, it is not convenient to be transgender. You know, you got problems with which bathroom, public bathroom you get to go in, and there's a debate over that. And, you know, I remember I worked with a transgender years ago, and, you know, and I was respectful, and I talked it was a man turned into a woman. And I respect what he was trying to be just in a human way, but I didn't agree with his lifestyle. And, you know, I worked with him for 2 years, and I never once was able to witness him go to a bathroom. So he had something worked out where he was able to go to a private bathroom, evidently, but I'd never seen him go to one of the main restrooms in the hallway, because they were, you know, labeled male, female, or man, woman. And so it's very inconvenient, you know, to be a transgender and to try to live a life in that way. And, you know, we have now some universities, all male, female universities, that are now opening up the doors to transgender. And this one young lady made a very good point. He said, you know, a man can become a woman, but at the end of the day, that man still has testosterone, you know, and his muscles and stuff give him an advantage when he wants to participate in an all woman sport. Okay. Or, you know, sports with women only. It's not fair. And that's 100% right. You know, so this is a very confusing, obvious, to me, a transgender person is obviously mentally ill. Okay. That's my opinion. Now you might be offended by that. You might say, wait a minute, but hey, that is my strong opinion and I'm standing with it. It's mental illness, you know, and mental illness needs to be helped. It doesn't need to be accepted as okay. Okay. So it's very inconvenient as verse 28 goes on to let us know. Verse 29, it says, being filled with all uncleanness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, and without understanding, covenant breakers. That sounds like it's talking about divorce there. With all natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. You know, so they have pleasure of other people doing them as well. I mean, that's just how perverted the minds can get when you enter into the homosexual lifestyle. You know, it's just so ungodly that it can be a point by which you're not able to repent. You just that ungodly and you die in your sins. So I wanted to talk about that, because that is a very, very, very strong movement right now in the world today. In America is very strong, and in other countries it's very strong. I've always said that I believe that homosexuality tends to be the tipping point to God's judgment and wrath. And that's why I really believe that we are coming up on the final 7 year period of life as we know it. The final 7 years spoken of by Daniel in Revelations, I mean, in the book of Daniel chapter, I believe it's chapter 9. So, you know, in the Bible, we know that God judged Sodom and Gomorrah for the sin of homosexuality. You know, they did not want a woman. They wanted to know a man. And they were threatening to take over Lot's house in order to get the new men that came into the city, that came into Lot's house. And so God ended up raining down fire and brimstone and destroying the city because of their homosexuality. And we also see God judging, God's judgment in the book of Judges, chapter 19 and 20. There was a similar story where there was a homosexual city under the tribe of Benjamin. And they did the same thing. They wanted to have this new man in the city that was in town to know him, to have sexual relations with him. And so he said, no, you know, that's not the will of God for a man to be with a man. Here is a woman, take her. And it turned out that was the man's wife, one of his concubines' wives. And the Bible said they abused her all night till she died. And so God ended up allowing judgment to come on that city as well for their wickedness, their debauchery, their homosexual intentions and all of that. And so homosexuality tends to be a point by which God's mercy seems to run out. And so homosexuality is very strong on television. Like I said, you can be watching a Coca-Cola commercial, a Pepsi commercial, McDonald's commercial, and you're bound to see them embrace and include and welcome the homosexual agenda in their commercials. So that's another reason why we ought to make sure we hold on to the truth. And because this is late in the day, and I believe the Lord is going to be coming to establish his kingdom on the earth here pretty soon. The final 7 years is, I believe, right around the corner. Okay, now I want to talk about another area, you know, that really bothers me as well. And that is a culture. I want to talk about the hip hop culture, what I call hip hop destruction. The hip hop culture is a very popular, very powerful movement. It tends to outdo all other music forms as far as record sales a lot of times. But it is very, very extremely destructive. And I don't know that our churches are doing enough to address this issue. I mean, we really need to wage war against the hip hop culture. You can listen to rap, and the first thing you can easily conclude is that it's not cool rap. It's not a cool song unless it's full of profanity. Full of profanity. Now, if you look up the word in the Bible, profane, it means ungodly. Ungodly. And that's where we get the word profanity, ungodly words. And now it has become profanity. Curse words have become an art form. You know, so many young people today, you know, and I'm gonna go ahead and say it, especially in the African-American community, that could be because that's where I'd be the most. So I might not realize it's in just about every other culture as well, but especially in the African-American community, it tends to be an art form to speak full of profanity and to show how well you can use curse words, you know. And so it's nothing for you to be talking to somebody in the grocery store or in the line and you get this profanity filled conversation. You know, that's part of the culture now. You know, let me read a scripture about profanity that I just have to throw out there. And if you have any kind of respect of God, any kind of reverence and fear of God, you need to know the scripture. Let's go to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy 2, chapter 16. The Apostle Paul is teaching us about profanity. He says, but shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness. Now, I just pointed out how profane means ungodly. So profanity is ungodly words. And Apostle Paul is telling you here, the more you speak profanity, the more you are separating yourself from God. The more you speak profanity, the more you separate yourself from God. The more you speak profanity, the greater the distance there is between you and God. I mean, who wants to be distant from God? I know I don't. It increases unto more ungodliness. And it opens up the door for you to become an ungodly person in other areas of your life, because our words have power. Okay. And we have to watch what we say. We can't just allow our mouth to speak any sort of words. And so we have to understand that as believers, you know, that's not an option to speak like the world, all of this ungodliness and all of this filth that how it comes out of a lot of people's mouth that are supposedly cool, you know, cool. You know, why is it that in the hip hop culture that everything destructive is cool? I'm talking about you getting high is cool, getting drunk is cool, having a one night stand is cool, messing with another man's wife is cool, murder is cool, breaking the law is cool. Everything that will destroy you in the hip hop culture is cool. You know, is that not a trick of the devil to sell us destruction, to sell us failure and setback and hopelessness? Because that's what sin does. It will bring all these things to your life, you know. And then you want to blame somebody else when you can't blame nobody but yourself. Okay. Let's look at this passage of scripture I remember learning when I was young. Galatians chapter 5. And we're going to read starting at verse 19 down to verse 21. It says, now the works of the flesh are manifest or obvious. The works of the flesh, you know, lust, ungodly lust. The works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery. That's a man messing with another man's wife. Fornication, one night stands, prostitution, homosexuality, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulation, wrath, strife, sedition, heresy, envyings, murders, drunkenness, reveling, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in times past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God. You should not inherit the kingdom of God. Let me explain the kingdom of God right quick for you. The kingdom of God is when Jesus comes back in his second coming and he establishes his kingdom on the earth for 1,000 years. Jesus is going to come back and he's going to establish his kingdom on the earth for 1,000 years because he wants us to see how it was supposed to be done all along. Why God created the earth in the first place and put Adam and Eve in the garden. Jesus is going to show us how it's done. And their kingdom is going to be 1,000-year kingdom on the earth. And, you want to be a part of that kingdom, because if you're not a part of that kingdom, that means you're cursed, you're damned, you're hell bound, and everything bad. OK, I can't say it no more plainly than that. So the Apostle Paul is letting you know here that basically everything that hip hop stands for, that hip hop brags about, that hip hop promotes, that hip hop teaches is cool. The profanity, the drunkenness, getting high, having one night stands, messing with another man's woman, all of these things, murder and breaking the law, all of these things is what's going to destroy you. Now, you remember the opening scripture we read, the thief cometh not but for to steal, to kill, and to destroy. So see, hip hop, I can't begin to celebrate hip hop. You know, I believe the church and believers should wage war against hip hop because it is literally destroying our young people. A lot of young people go around rapping the lyrics of hip hop and not realizing what's coming out of their mouth, sowing these seeds into their life, into their own personal ground. And they're going to harvest this stuff one way or another. And it's not going to be pretty. We need to wage war against hip hop culture. So I want to warn you against hip hop culture. It is destructive, and it is of the devil. You know, you can get lost in a nice beat and these amazingly creative lyrics and the vocabulary of these songs, and you can get caught up in that, and but you're not paying attention to the ridiculous words that are being said, and it's terrible. It's downright terrible. So be aware of what hip hop is about and what hip hop is doing, especially to our young people. And we need to try to encourage our children, you know, not to get caught up in hip hop. And and it's possible, you know, when there's a cause, when there's a purpose, there is an anointing. So we got to take up position and fight it. That's all there is to it. Okay, so, you know, I talked about the homosexual agenda at first, you know, and in Romans chapter 1, Paul tells us it's going to be without excuse, because once again, where there's purpose, where there's a cause, there is an anointing. There is an anointing against homosexuality. And so if people refuse it, then there's not going to be any excuse for them living in it. You know, now I forgot to read one of the end time scriptures concerning homosexuality. And then I'm going to go back and I'm going to read that right quick. It's found in Luke chapter 17, verses 34. And he says, and Jesus is saying, I tell you, he's talking about the end times here. He's talking about the time at which his second coming is going to take place. He's talking about the last day, because his second coming and his rapture is at the last day. And now I want to talk about this passage here for a little bit. Luke chapter 17, verse 34, he says, I tell you, in that night, there shall be two men in one bed. The one shall be taken and the other shall be left. Okay, now, if you understand that in this world, there's going to be daytime on one part of the world and nighttime on the other part of the world. So whenever the rapture takes place, there's going to be day and a night at that time, you know, depending on what part of the world you're on. So some people might say, oh, well, if this is the last day, if this, the rapture is going to take place at night, well, it's going to take place at night someplace in the world, and it's going to be daytime someplace else in the world. Okay, so don't get hung up on that night. But he says, I tell you, in that night, there shall be two men in one bed. One shall be taken and the other left. Now, I was always taught growing up that this was the rapture. The one is taken is going to be with the Lord. The other one left is going to be left to be cursed and to be down. And I was like, well, back up. Wait a minute. Time out. You know, why are two men in one bed? I remember saying that as a teenager. And the preacher just went on and didn't give much explanation. You know, so I thought it was just, you know, the culture of that time going on. So I left it alone. But when you go down to verse 37, it says, and they answered and said unto him, where should they be taken? And the Lord said unto them, wheresoever the body is, thither where the eagles be gathered together. And I was like, wow. You know, my questions as a teenager were right. This was not a picture of the rapture. This is the wrath of God. This is the wrath of God. This is nothing but the wrath of God. two men in one bed, both of them are homosexuals. One is going to be taken to a place where the fowls of the air are going to feast on the wicked. The Bible teaches us. We see that also in Revelation chapter 19. An angel is going to call all the fowls of the air to feast on wicked people, rich, poor, young, old, captains and soldiers, bond and free, people who are unsaved, people who are wicked. And this is the wrath of God at work. This is the wrath of God. So there's not going to be any excuse for the homosexual agenda. I wanted to go back and cover that. Okay. Now, the third point I want to touch on is female leadership. That's another conformity of this world today. Female leadership. You know, the opening verse was be not conformed to this world. Well, that's one of the conformities of the world today. You know, the world wants you to accept homosexual agenda, the transgender community. You know, the world wants you to accept lewd and debauchery in the hip hop culture. Okay. And the world also wants you to accept female leadership over men. Female leadership over men. And we talked about nature earlier and how nature is nothing more than an extension of what God has established. And when you look at nature, especially, you know, animal life, the biggest and the strongest gender or sex dominates that species or that family. Every time. If you want to talk about bees, B-E-E, bees, they have a queen bee. And the queen bee is the biggest in the whole colony. And then the whole colony revolves around her. You know, she has several suitors, several males that she mate with. She produces several eggs or whatever. And then she has several workers. And then she has guard bees. But she's the biggest. Everything revolves around her. I believe same thing with ants. Tarantula spiders. Have you ever watched a documentary on that? Where a tarantula and it'd be mating season and a male would do a dance to try to, you know, hypnotize the female because the female is about 50% bigger than him. And so he has to kind of like put her in a trance in order to mate because her appetite to eat is usually stronger than her desire to mate. So he gets her into this little trance and then he mates with her, but he has these two back legs that are in position to run right after the mating. Okay. Because he knows at any second, her instincts to eat is going to kick in and he has to be ready. And a lot of times some of the slower males, they don't move fast enough. And right after mating, she grabs him and kills him and eats him. Because she's bigger and stronger, you know, everything revolves around the biggest and the strongest. You know, we see in the lion culture, the males are the biggest. So they have the pride. They have the females and the children and so forth and so on. So it's a consistency here. Eagles, they are one of the fewer species, and penguins, they are some of the fewer species where you can see a difference in who's biggest and who's tallest and who's strongest. And so, you know what you find? You find a 50-50 partnership in those situations where they split the responsibility straight down the middle. Okay. So it's a consistency there, you know? So in all the animal life, you see this consistency kept, except for when you get to the humans. Now we are in a day and time where men find themselves looking to women for leadership. Now, I want to talk about that according to the Bible. There's a story found in the book of Judges, chapter 4, where Deborah is a prophetess, and Israel has been given into slavery to the Canaanites once again for their idolatry or whatever. And but Deborah is a prophetess, and she hears from God. And after 20 years of hard labor and slavery, you know, God speaks to Deborah and let her know that he's going to deliver Israel. And she goes and tells one of the men of Israel to get your army together and go to this river, and you're going to get the victory, and you're going to make Israel free. But he says, OK, but only if you go with me. She's like, what? You know, quit being weak. And she says, well, if I go with you, but when we get the victory, it's not going to be for your honor. It's going to be for my honor, because God's going to give me the victory, she says. And so it's a shame. It's a shame. It's ungodly when men look to women for leadership, you know. And so you have to keep that in mind as a Christian if you want to be in line and in rhythm with the ways of God. You know, always as a Christian woman and as a Christian man, always keep the order of God, and stay in your place, because that's where the anointing is. You know, let's look at a verse of scripture. Let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 11. I believe I read that last week as well. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 2 and 3 says, now I praise you, brethren, that you remember me in all things and keep the ordinances or the order as I deliver them to you. But I would have you know that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of the woman is the man, and the head of Christ is God. You know, because of that scripture right there, you know, in this past 2016 election, you know, I had a problem with voting for Hillary Clinton, because I could not position myself to want to look to a woman for headship or for leadership, because I believe that's out of God's order, you know. And so if I feel like the two candidates just ain't good enough, I just won't vote, because it's my right to vote and it's my right not to vote. But we have to keep that in mind. You know, you got to keep God's order. We, especially in our churches, you know, and we see in our churches as well, a lot of women pastors. You know, what does that say about the men in the congregation who sit under a woman as head, as leader, as the pastor? It doesn't fare well at all. And we have to understand this, and we have to keep the order of God. You know, with that being said, let's look at this passage I love, found in Psalms 133rd Psalms. Give me a second here. But it's talking about the anointing and the flow of God's anointing, and how you have to be in God's order in order to get your part of the anointing. And it reads, verse 1, behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity, in order. Okay. It is like the precious ointment upon the head, okay, that ran down upon the beards, even Aaron's beard, that went down to the skirts of his garment, of his garments. Okay, you see that flow from the head to the beard to the skirts. You know, the skirts can be viewed as the ladies. The head, Paul told us, Christ is the head. So God flows the anointing to Christ. Christ flows it down to the men. You know, when Jesus was on the earth and he chose him 12 disciples, he chose all men. You know, there's order, there's reason for why God and for why Jesus do what they do. And then it flows onto the skirts. So you got to keep the order. You can't live any kind of way. You can't establish any kind of order and then expect God's anointing to be there. It just won't work. You know, 1 Timothy, the Apostle Paul has something to say about it as well. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 11. Let the women learn in silence with all subjection. Okay. But I suffered not a woman to teach nor usurp authority over the man, but to be silenced. For Adam was first formed in Eve. So he talks about the seniority of the situation. Men came on the scene first, then women. And so it's pretty clear. I mean, it's clear. Can't say it no more plain than that. That God's order, you know, places men above women. And so the world is going to be the world. The world is going to be full of ungodliness, full of anti-Christ, anti-God standards that we have to be aware of. Television is going to always show us these ungodly, anti-Christ standards to try to deceive as many people as possible. Why? Because Satan hates us. For the thief cometh not but for to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Okay, that's his agenda. And this is how he destroys mankind, people, humans, by getting them to live ungodly. Okay, the homosexual agenda is ungodly, but it is socially accepted and gaining ground and gaining strength every day. The hip hop culture is very destructive, very ungodly. Everything wrong is cool in hip hop, from getting drunk to getting high, using profanity more than you use regular words. Okay. Fornication, adultery, selling drugs, breaking the law, everything destructive is cool in hip hop. Okay. And then you get down to female leadership. That's the latest movement. You can't hardly watch a movie on television without a woman being the boss now, without the woman saving the day, without a woman leading and being the head, you know. So this is all part of the trick of the devil to get us to be ungodly. So let me go back to the opening scripture. Romans 12 and 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Okay? We got to be holy. That means set apart, sanctified. That means not like the world. That's what that means. Acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. It's reasonable to be this way. It's reasonable to be holy. In other words, it's not too hard. You know, for the commandments of the Lord are not grievous. It's not too hard to be about God's work and to be about God and to be about his order and to be about his truth. It's not too hard. It is our reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world. Okay? You got to watch that. Because if you watch television 3, 4, 5 hours a day or more or less, you are bound to get some demonic, wicked, ungodly seeds thrown your way. That's all it is to it. You know, the Revelation chapter 13 talk about how the beast was able to give life to the image, to his image and to the number of his name. And I believe that's talking about television. I believe that's talking about social media or internet or smartphones, you know, and the technology surrounding all of this. So don't downplay television. People say, oh, television is just for entertainment. It ain't all that. It ain't that deep. Oh, yes, it is. It's Satan's number one tool. And he has been using it effectively to deceive the hearts and minds of many people around the world. And he's going to continue to do so. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Sometimes you got to go back to the drawing board and you got to say, well, this has been adding up like I was taught. And what you've been taught might have came straight from the church and it could be wrong. So you need to sometimes go back to the drawing board and look for a better answer. Look for the right answer because you might have the wrong answer. That ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Okay. So that is the scripture that I want to leave with you today. I hope you have found today's discussion very informative. I hope your faith has grown because of it. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. And I have given plenty word of God scripture today. You know, that's my goal. That's my agenda, is to strengthen the body of Christ as well as myself and the things of God, to keep the truth, to keep my sanity in this wicked world we live in today. There's so much wickedness around us, and we have to strengthen one another. We have to consider one another. We have to uphold one another, because it is battle time, people. Satan is really working really hard to deceive and to destroy and to steal from the people of God their salvation. And we must understand that. And so we have to not be proud. We have to be willing to repent. We have to be willing to get it right, because the truth makes us free. Okay, I'm about out of time. I hope you have enjoyed today's topic. Believe in God, also believe in the devil. That is the title of today's topic. If you have enjoyed the show, please let family and friends know about the ministry, Thief in the Night. Get Your House in Order. This show airs every Saturday at 5 p.m. Central Time. I also have a website called thiefinthenightministries.com. That's thiefinthenightministries.com. There you can find out more about me, and you can post a question or a comment. If you have one, I'd love to hear from you, and I'll try to address it on the show. Just go to thiefinthenightministries.com and click contact us, and there you can post a question or a comment. Okay. Thank you once again for tuning in. Hope all is well. And above everything, my brothers and sisters in the Lord, I hope that you prosper and be in good health, even as your soul prospers. God bless you. Take care. Peace.
Thank you for listening to the show. We hope that you were blessed by the message from the Word of God. Come back next time for more of Get Your House in Order.
I'm gon' fly away. I'm leaving this cold world, going up yonder to that holy place. I'ma sit down, talk with Peter, sit down, talk with Paul, and I'ma say, take me to Jesus, the one who really paid it all for me. This world.
Get Your House in Order is copyright by Thief in the Night Ministries and the Resilient Christian Radio Network.